It is time for Food for Mood with Dr. Judy Werfman. Of course, Judy is the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com, and also Simon Loses His Tummy, Not His Head. Good morning, Dr. Werfman.
Good morning, good morning. He still has his head, and his tummy is getting a little bit smaller. I'm not sure.
And one of the things about running the clinic that you used to run is that you do know the difference between getting smaller or not getting smaller. You know, you really do.
That's right.
It's fair. We can pretend. Right. There's a basis in reality. All right. Dr. Werfman, I'm always happy to have you. Shall we talk about unhealthy food at inns or your call?
Okay. Well, let me talk a minute about.
Or both.
We can talk about both. In fact, I'll talk fast. We can do both. Let's start with the unhealthy inns. I wasn't present last week because we were traveling and had a stay at a charming inn in a small unidentified town. One of these inns that sort of gets you a 9 plus or 10 on a rating.
In an undisclosed really location.
Right.
Okay.
The only problem was breakfast. Most of these places do serve breakfast, and as typical, it was sort of served communal style. All the guests sat at a long table and, chit-chatted as we were eating. Normally, in this sort of situation, of a typical bed and breakfast, you will have perhaps a hot dish served, usually an eggy, cheesy kind of dish, but in addition, a choice of a variety of cold menu items, yogurt, and fruit, a cereal, cottage cheese possibly, and, maybe a few muffins or toast. So that if you don't want to eat the eggy, cheesy, bready kind of thing, you could have other things to eat. Well, in this particular place, the innkeeper told us that she really did not like sending out a buffet for breakfast because she felt that this was wasteful, that she was unable to control the amount or predict the amount of food that people would be eating. I guess she had leftover yogurt or stale muffins or,
muffins you can do something with.
Right. So she decided to serve what she wanted to serve, and what she served was something incredibly heavy in terms of fat. She started with sort of a syrup-drenched nectarine that was topped with crushed nuts and put on a bed of sour cream. It looked very pretty. It tasted well, but it was really rather sweet for a first course in the morning, early in the morning. And then the second course that she served everybody was a very large slice of a very cheesy, eggy, creamy quiche, and what she called a sour cream biscuit. And I sort of looked at this and I thought, uh-oh, what am I going to eat? Because we were going to be driving home that day, sitting in the car for several hours, that all we need is having all this sort of high-fat food sitting in our stomachs for all these hours, not moving in the car. But there was nothing else to eat. I noticed actually on the way out that there were a couple of boxes of old brand cereal, but they were not obvious. All right, so my question really is, how could we have avoided this? Now, she had sent out a questionnaire saying, do we have food allergies? Is there anything that you really can't eat? And I don't have food allergies other than lactose intolerance or something, and I take my pills with me so I can have milk. Anyway, should I have responded, I can't eat unhealthy food. I don't like to eat high-fat foods. There's a lot of cardiac problems in both sides of my family and my husband's. So we prefer eating sort of lower-fat, more high-fiber foods and fruits and, maybe dairy products, this sort of thing. I, of course, I didn't put that down because there's no place to put it down. But perhaps this is what one should do when one is traveling or having to depend on food that you can't get from your own kitchen or a restaurant of your choice. Perhaps the real issue is, should you let known to people who are going to be feeding you that you really do have food restrictions which are not in the category gluten-free, lactose-free, egg-free, peanut butter-free, that sort of thing, but they really are unhealthy-free. And I think we just don't think about doing this because
it's a toughie, and I'm sorry to interrupt,
please.
But I always do. It's my genetic makeup. But the problem is, used to, way, way back when this started, when I say this, choice and conveying a preference, you used to, for example, be able to get a kosher meal on a plane because
right.
that was you know, it
or
was...
Or a vegetarian or a butter. That's right.
And that's those were the choices. We have become so, shall we say, evolved that, and individuated, that everybody is more focused, sadly, on their choice. You know, it's like, well, okay, but I can only have, we're going to just stick to this topic, by the way. We'll do the next. I can only have, you know, I don't like sesame seeds. That the bigger picture is getting lost.
Very, very good point, Jill, because, you know, she would have served me an unhealthy, gluten-free piece of quiche, right?
Absolutely. Without blinking. But just the basic, this sounds so ancient, but the basic building blocks of a proper diet, that's what used to go out there, and then you adjusted. And that's no longer what goes out there because everybody's already pre-adjusted. And what has to happen is we all have to sort of wander back to the middle where there's, you know, your three choices, vegetarian, meat, or kosher.
You know, you made a brilliant point. And it's something that we sort of forget about. And I think we all have to take personal responsibility for it. I mean, the innkeeper herself was not thin, and the people who enjoyed eating this really delicious tasting, although I didn't have more than a mouthful, repast were also not thin, and they probably thought this was a fine thing to eat. But do we have some kind of individual responsibility if we're feeding other people to make sure that we are not adding to their, let's say, medical/obesity woes, and that we're trying to, just because we're giving them a choice of good food, try to move them in that direction? Should we even have to mention it? I mean, okay, you're on a plane and you are a Hindu and you want to have a vegan meal, or you're religious Jew and you want to have a kosher meal, or you're Muslim, make sure that you're not eating pork. Fine. But do we have to really mention to somebody who's feeding us, you know, I really preferred if you didn't make a food that was 40% fat or 30% sugar, because I really don't want to eat that way. Again, he said this should simply be a fact. We shouldn't have to beg for this kind of eating. And indeed, we do. And it's true when you're traveling. You go off to restaurants. It's sometimes very, very hard to find foods that are low in fat.
And healthy. And we've got to somehow get back to that. And sadly, we are out of time. But thank you very much, Dr. Judy Wortman, Food for Mood, to be continued.
Okay, fine. Bye-bye then.
Of course, you can hear Judy Wortman here on Robin Hood Radio on a Thursday morning right before This Week in the Lakeville Journal.